Golf Smarter number 109 for January 15, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Catherine Roberts of Yoga for Golfers on off-season physical conditioning.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thank you for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast. Today, Kenny Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf answers questions about training aids to increase swing speed, golf mats, and selecting a new putter. It's so awesome to have Catherine Roberts back up with us again today. She's created a very popular brand called Yoga for Golfers, which includes books, DVDs, equipment, personal appearances, training programs, and a whole lot more. Plus, every time she and I get on the phone together, the conversations bounce in so many directions and last for a long, long time. Welcome, Catherine.
Hey, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm so glad that you were able to come back on the show. We really appreciate it.
Me too. It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And what a great time to be talking about staying in shape, because cold weather makes things happen to golfers. And there's a couple things that happen. I received email the other day from somebody who said, I'm stuck here. It's Ohio. It's snow. And I need to stay in shape. What should I do? So I want to talk about staying in shape in the off season and what you can do to stay in shape in the off season. I also want to talk about people who are in my situation where you still get to play golf 12 months a year, but it's a lot colder. And then I also want to find out what you've been up to and what we can look forward to seeing you in and do on your website, things like that. So ready to go?
I'm ready.
Awesome. So what have you been up to?
Well, let's see. What haven't we been up to? Some very exciting news is that I'm going to be rolling out my own golf fitness show on the Golf Channel.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, in the 10 years that I've been, it's been 14 years now that I've been working specifically on the topic of golf fitness, we get a lot of emails from people who ask specific questions about, I have a certain swing flaw. Is there anything that I can do physically to help me with that swing flaw? And that's really the premise of the show. And the premise is to look at, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there are physiological reasons why they exhibit certain swing flaws. And I'll give you just a quick example. Let's just use sway as a specific swing flaw, which is very, very common.
Definitely, I was guilty of that until I had some lessons, and I think I've gotten rid of it.
Yeah, and you know what? And actually, you make a very good point. And that point is that everything that I'm saying from the fitness correlation to the swing flaw should absolutely be, your swing flaw should be evaluated by a PGA instructor. You know, my teaching methodologies take a very holistic approach to the golf swing. So I don't say just do these exercises. You also have to look at your swing mechanics. And because I'm not a golf instructor, I work very, very closely with golf instructors so that we can offer a comprehensive solution to our students. So for an example, let's back up for a minute. One of the challenges is that people spend a lot of money on lessons, and they go to the lesson, and let's say, for example, sway is one of their challenges. And so the golf pro is trying to get them to do things to stop their sway or to generate more power that is depleted when their body is swaying, you know, to the outside of their golf swing. And physically, people can't execute what the golf pro is asking them to do. So what happens is you end up with a student that's either not getting the results that they're looking for or paying for out of from their PGA instructor, and it's not their instructor's fault. The other thing is that people spend a lot of money on equipment, and they're not getting the maximum benefit out of the equipment because physically they simply cannot execute the most efficient golf swing for them. So we'll go back to the topic of sway for a moment. So, you know, sway is when the hips move laterally in the swing versus rotating around, let's say, the pivot point of the right hip, okay? Let's say you're coming to the back of the golf swing and you're a right-handed golfer. So the right hip will slide to the outside of the right leg. And just that's kind of a simplistic definition of what the term sway is. Well, what happens is because the power is generated in the body from the lower body through the hips and then the torso and the trunk and the shoulders and the arms, basically you're creating a leakage of power when you sway or when you sway to the side. So the physiological correlation of that is that when we test people and look at people who exhibit the swing flaw of sway, what we see is a lack of mobility in their hip flexors, meaning an inability to rotate their hips, so they just slide to the side. So what happens is that when I can work with my students and I can get them to work on mobility, essentially generating more flexibility in their hips and in their glutes, you know, the muscles of their buttocks, in their hamstrings, so they can maintain bent knees in their address position, and then throughout their swing, I can help them alleviate sway. Now, I would say a lack of hip mobility, a lack of hip flexibility is one of the most common things that I see with that swing flaw. But now I do want to say that what I see for a lot of women is they have too much flexibility and not enough strength in their hips. So they're not able to rotate their hips, and instead they sway to the side. So what we look at is if you take this example of sway, it can either be an issue of lack of mobility or lack of strength.
Very interesting. Now, is this sway issue across the board with all golfers, or is this more age-specific?
That's a very good question. I would say for me personally, I see it more in older golfers.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking, because that's what I would tend to see as well, that older golfers, and myself included. And I got to tell you, I did have a sway, and I'm still working on getting rid of it. I know sometimes I bring it back by, you know, not consciously. But since I have worked on eliminating that sway from my swing, not only have I gotten more yardage out of my shots, but I have less back pain at the end of a round.
Well, you're absolutely going to have less back pain. And the other thing is you will be able to generate more distance. You're also going to see more consistency in your swing, because when we can eliminate the sway or the swing flaw, the swing path is straighter and more consistent. So this is, again, this is a topic that I've been writing about for many, many, many years, speaking on all over the world for many years. And so now what we've done is now we're going to have an 8-week series around the topic of the swing flaws and the physiological correlation to that swing flaw. And just 5 or 6 very, very simple, very, very simple golf-specific fitness tips that will help you alleviate those specific swing flaws. And so, you know, we're picking the top 8 swing flaws. Sway is potentially going to be one of those topics.
Sure. And what is the name of the show going to be? Do you have a name for this show yet?
We don't have a name of the show yet.
We should just be looking for Catherine Roberts on the Golf Channel coming up in March of 08, April of 08?
I believe it'll be April of 08.
Okay.
We're going to be shooting in the end of January. And we'll have a couple surprises of some celebrities and some other people that might or might not end up on the show. But primarily, the person who will be focusing on is going to be your average golfer. So one of the things that I try to get people to do is say, listen, you're not going to be Tiger Woods. Let's just face it. You know, the sooner that we deal with reality, the better life is.
No, so, don't tell them that.
Right. So, you know, My objective in teaching is to have people be able to maximize their performance for who they are and their strengths and their own strengths. Let's face it, I've been playing golf my whole life. I'm not ever going to be Annika, but I do have a really good swing and I love the game, and I have a couple different things that I'm working on in my swing specifically. But I'm also, you know, this is just kind of a life lesson, which is I'm in acceptance, okay? So I accept that I'm not going to be Annika, and I don't make myself crazy by trying to be something that I'm not.
Now, wait, I got to stop you. We got to clarify. You're not expecting, you're an expectant.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Exactly. I'm just trying to be the best that I can be, and there are some things that I know that I can do to do that. You know, I'm very fortunate in, you know, when I talked about the importance of taking lessons, I just can't stress that enough. And, you know, I teach golf schools with Hank Haney. So I am very, very blessed in that I get to take instruction from one of the best teachers in the world.
Wow.
And, you know, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And when I'm around Hank, I'm like a sponge. I'm just trying to suck up as much information as I can get from him because he's so talented and so knowledgeable. But I also realize that Hank can only take me so far. If my body can't physically do what Hank is asking me to do, then I'm not going to be able to maximize my own performance.
And isn't that the goal of, or isn't that the duty of a good instructor to be able to understand the limitations of their pupil, especially physically?
I believe so. Not only understand their limitations, but to be able to refer them to the right fitness professional who understands the mechanics of the golf swing, and they can develop a program that's specific for what they're trying to do. You know, I have a young girl that's coming down to see me from Seattle. She's really, this is a young girl that I believe you're going to be hearing about on the LPGA. She's phenomenal, phenomenal golfer. And the first thing that I did after I spoke to her and her parents, she's only 15 years old, was to have a conference call and look at the swing of her coach. Because I need to understand what her golf objectives are and to also see her swing the golf club. I can't be of service and put her on the right program if I don't know what her golf swing looks like.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Catherine, I know you talked about having celebrities on your show making appearances, but you also want to work with the regular golfer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I like hiding into this podcast thing and being in people's iPods and being as anonymous as possible. But if you need a guinea pig on your show,
yes,
I'd be more than happy to appear.
I can't tell you how many of my friends have said, I'll be on the show.
Exactly. If you're going to teach me something and you're going to help me get rid of the sway and the pain, I'm all over it.
Well, Fred, you never know. Stay tuned. Fred might be on the show.
Yeah, okay. Let's get back into talking about preparing ourselves for next season and cold weather and what we should be working on in the off season if this winter is an off season from playing golf. Let's talk about what people can do to prepare for the upcoming golf year.
Well, first of all, I think that training in the off season is one of the great opportunities that you have to really work on your golf swing. You know, people say to me, Catherine, you know, when is your busiest time of year? To be honest with you, well, my busiest time of year is all year. But during the off season is very busy because people, that you know, they can't be out swinging the club or they're not outside playing golf. So what can they do? The first thing that you want to do is you want to, obviously you want to make sure that you get a checkup and make sure that your health is okay before you start any fitness program. The second thing is you want to make sure that you are very clear about what your golf goals are and what your fitness goals are. So the way that you can determine what your golf goals are by A, working with your PGA instructor, you know, going and taking a lesson. A lot of PGA instructors in the off season will, you know, give indoor lessons. I highly recommend that. Have your swing videotaped. Sit down with your instructor and say, I'm getting ready to start a golf fitness program. What are some of the things that I should be working on? He might say posture, or I'd like to see you have more hip turn, or, you know, I'd like to see you be able to generate more power from your lower body. Or I'd like to see you get more strength in your hands, wrists, and forearms, something like that. So determining what your golf goals are, either from a physical standpoint or from a swing flaw standpoint, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that is one, is to determine what your golf goals are. The second thing is to determine what your fitness goals are, because one of the benefits of working on your golf game from a fitness perspective is that it will also manifest in other parts of your life. It will help you to feel better just as you're walking around every day, whether you're on the golf course or not. So maybe one of your fitness goals is you'd like to lose 20 pounds. Maybe one of your fitness goals is you'd like to have more energy. You know, maybe one of your fitness goals is you'd like to have better posture and you'd like to have less back pain. So be very clear about what your golf goals are and what your fitness goals are, okay? So that will give you a roadmap to determining the kinds of things that you want to be working on, okay? So the first one we have is make sure that, you know, you just get a checkup and that you're clear to exercise. The second thing is determine your golf goals and determine your fitness goals. The third thing is what I call adherence over duration. Adherence to your fitness program is much more important than the duration of your fitness program. And, you know, Fred, I work with, you know, junior golfers, like this young woman that's coming to see me who's 15. I work with golfers that are 87 years old. I work with, you know, PGA professionals. I work in Major League Baseball. I work with, you know, the gamut of people. And the first thing I say to them is, what is a realistic amount of time that you have that you'd be able to spend 4 days, 4 to 5 days a week working on your fitness? Because, again, adherence over duration is much more important. And teaching now, I've been teaching for 20 years, and you know, the one of the greatest gifts that I think that I get to experience every day is I see people's bodies change. Even if you just stretch 15 minutes a day, I see tremendous change that occurs in people. So if someone comes to me and they say, you know what, I don't really have 15 minutes a day, but I've got 3 hours on Sunday, I would say don't do it because your risk of injury is too great.
Wow.
So, yes. So be realistic because sticking to your program is more important than the length of time that you spend. So, you know, get the checkup, the golf goals, the fitness goals, and be realistic about the time that you can adhere to the program, okay, and the duration of time. The fourth thing I say, and this is research proves this, that if you have a buddy that you're working out with, and I'll just use the term working out, or someone that you are somewhat accountable to, or you know, or engage your family in a support system to help you to do this. If you say to your family, I'm making a commitment to do this, and I'm going to need to have 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night because I'm committed to this, I would pretty much guarantee that your family is going to be supportive. So get a buddy that you can be accountable to, maybe someone that's a neighbor if you're working on your cardiovascular conditioning that you can be walking with every day, and get the support system lined up with your family, okay? The last thing is you want to make sure that you have the proper equipment. And there's three pieces of apparatus that every golfer should have if they're working on a fitness program. One is a yoga mat, okay, so that they have a place that they can stretch that's comfortable and their body doesn't slide around. So one is a yoga mat. The second thing is a stability ball or a balance ball, you know, the big balls. Not the small weighted medicine ball, but the big ball, okay?
Like the one I'm sitting on right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other piece of fitness apparatus they must have is a piece of resistance tubing. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the resistance tubing will help you to build strength. You can use it for flexibility. It travels with you. I have resistance tubing that I travel with all the time. So those three things every golfer should have, plus a couple of bath towels. But so you need a yoga mat, you need a stability ball, and you need resistance tubing. Now, I use a resistance tubing. It's called the Golf Gym Power Swing Trainer. And the reason I use that is because it's not just resistance tubing. It has a molded golf grip, so it helps you strengthen the hands, wrists, and forearms. And there's a whole series of exercises you can do with that that helps facilitate a stronger swing.
And tell me again, I'm sorry for interrupting, but tell me again, the Golf Gym.
It's called the Golf Gym Power Swing Trainer, and we sell that on our website.
Oh, okay. And we'll go over that later.
Yeah, but that's a product. So those three products, because having the right equipment is very important. You're not going to go out to the golf course without having the best equipment for you, we hope. You mean you want to have, you know, as good equipment as you can possibly afford. And it's the same kind of thing. Basically, you're getting yourself the right equipment because you're setting yourself up for success.
I think it's fabulous. I think that, you know, what's interesting about this is everything that you've just provided to us is either inexpensive or easy to do. I think the most difficult aspect of this is diligence.
Is the diligence, which is also why being realistic about the duration of time that you have during the day.
Yeah.
is a way that you set yourself up for success.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, I have people say to me, I don't have 2 hours. Who has 2 hours? I barely have time to play golf.
Right.
Time is probably our greatest commodity at the moment, and one that most of us are lacking. So, and then I have people say to me, well, if I, 15 minutes, what's that going to do? I don't need to, is it going to help me? I can guarantee you the answer is yes. Just to recap, getting the checkup, meeting with your PGA professional to go over your golf swing and help you determine what your golf goals are, determine what your fitness goals are, adherence over duration, get a buddy and get the support system of your family, and get yourself the proper equipment.
That's fabulous. What about for people who commute, whether they're in their car or they're in a train or something like that? Are there things that they can do? Because that's going to be at least 15 minutes right there. Are there things that they can do that would help at all? Do you have any kind of drills or workouts that would help them?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that because I travel all over the world teaching my golf fitness programs. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to South Africa in February to teach.
You are going?
Yes, I'm going.
Awesome.
And it's very, very exciting. And but if anyone ever runs into me on an airplane, usually I'm stretching in my seat. So, you know, there's a number of things you can do. You can sit on the edge of your seat and you can, you know, take your feet just about hip-width apart, and you can bring your left hand to your right knee and your right hand on the seat behind you, and you can practice some spinal rotations. You can flex and contract, flex and extend your hands and wrists. So you can work on the strength and flexibility in your hands, wrists, and forearms. You can extend your legs out and flex and point your feet, which will help with mobility in the feet. You can, even in a seated position, you can bring one knee up to your chest, and then you can switch sides and bring the other knee up to the chest. That helps with mobility and releasing pain in the lumbar spine. The other thing that I do all the time, and it's funny because I was just in La Costa teaching on Tuesday, and on the way back, I was sitting on the most uncomfortable airplane I think God ever made. And, well,
no,
of course,
God made airplanes.
I was going to say, God wouldn't do anything that bad. but it was a very uncomfortable man-made airplane. And what I did was I sat on the edge of the seat. And I slightly tucked, and actually people that are listening right now could practice this. You sit on the edge of your seat.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep, I'm doing it.
And your feet are planted about hip-width apart.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you very slightly tuck your tailbone under, so it feels like it's the slight tilt of the pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull your navel towards your spine. Okay? Now what you do is, feel like you're lifting your rib cage up and off your waist. And then you slightly bring your shoulder blades together and you bring your shoulders then down.
Give me the last one again. So I'm bringing my shoulder blades together.
You're squeezing your shoulder blades together and then you're then pressing your shoulder blades down your back.
Oh, I see. Down. Okay.
Okay. So I'll go over that one more time.
Down, back, and down.
Together, back, and down.
Mm-hmm.
Shoulder blades.
Like in a rotating motion or just move,
exactly.
move?
Just one time and then hold that position. So essentially what I'm doing is I'm doing a core strengthening exercise. I'm relieving the pressure off my back, and I'm working on my posture while I'm sitting.
Excellent.
So I'll go over that one more time. And again, the listeners can do this with me.
Thank you.
Sit on the edge of your chair.
Mm-hmm.
Take your feet hip-width apart. Okay, your knees are at a 90-degree angle, and you want to very slightly tuck your tailbone under. So my back isn't curved like the letter C. I'm just slightly tucking my tailbone under. I'm pulling my navel as if I'm trying to get my navel to touch my spine. I'm then lifting my rib cage up and off my waist, and I'm bringing my shoulder blades together, and I'm moving my shoulder blades down my back. And then I can let my palms face up and rest on my thighs.
Nice. This feels great.
Yes.
How long do I hold this for, and can I breathe?
You should be breathing, because everything that I just described has nothing to do with the function of your lungs.
Okay. And do I hold this for a while, or do I do it multiple times?
If you can, you know, in the beginning, it's very physically active, and for most people, they can't hold it more than 20 seconds.
Wow.
You can hold it for 20 seconds, and you can relax for another 30 seconds or a minute. Eventually, you'll work up to being able to hold that for a minute or two, and then you can relax and do it again. And what you'll start to see is you're building your posture from the base of your spine up towards the top of your head.
Mm.
And this, by the way, you know, proper posture is one of, you know, having what we call a C posture, which is a curve in the upper back, and an S posture, which is a curve in the an excessive arch in the lumbar spine, are two swing flaws that affect posture and your inability to maintain posture in your golf swing. So here you are working on your posture while you're sitting in an airplane.
Or the commute train.
Or the train. And honestly, on Tuesday when I was flying back from San Diego, I was sitting in this airplane. It was so uncomfortable. I could feel, I work on my back almost every day. So it's not as if my back is not strong. I could feel the pain starting to happen in my low back. I could feel that my hamstrings were starting to get contracted. So I did this in the airplane, and I felt much, much better.
Fabulous. All right, we don't have a ton of time left, but I do want to talk about warming up. Obviously, you need to warm up before every round of golf. But in cold weather, when you're going to go out and play, what's the best thing to do? Are we going to warm up at the golf course, at home? And if you do it at home, is that going to translate to getting to the golf course later? I mean, help me out with this one.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say something about warming up for golf.
Okay.
When you warm up for golf, you want to warm up with a type of flexibility called dynamic stretching. So, there's many different types of flexibility conditioning, and I'll just talk about dynamic stretching. Dynamic stretching means that you hold the stretch. I use numbers of breaths, but you can translate those into seconds. So let's say one long deep inhalation and deep inhalation and exhalation is about, 10 seconds, okay? So here's an example, and again, the listeners can do this. You get down on the floor, you inhale, and you bring your right knee into your chest. You exhale, and you release. You inhale, and you bring your left knee into your chest. You exhale, and you release, okay? That's dynamic stretching. Because what you're doing is, golf is an explosive movement, so you're preparing the body for the explosive movement of the swing. So you don't want to do long static stretching when you're preparing your body for golf. And the question you ask is, how do you warm up for your round? What you want to do is warm up the hips, warm up the low back, warm up the feet, warm up the shoulders, and warm up the hands and wrists, especially in cold weather. I mean, I've been living in Arizona for the last 17 years, but I grew up living in Philadelphia. And I remember there's nothing worse than when you hit cold, hard ground and it goes reverberating up the club into your hands.
Oh, I hate that.
You want to make sure that you prepare your hands and wrists, okay? And, you know, it's a little challenging for me to take you through an entire warm-up.
Sure.
But what I would say is, first of all, in our, you know, we have 9 DVDs, and in our DVDs and also on my website, I offer a series of pre-round stretches that you can do at home before you go to the golf course. Okay? So that's definitely something that you should do. Do it right before you get in the car. Okay? And again, it's like, you know, 10, 15 minutes. That's it. So prepare your body for the round by stretching before you even get to the golf course. Then when you get to the golf course, you know, take a couple swings. Take some time to use the golf cart to do a couple of stretches. And the most important thing, too, is you asked about warming up before the round. When it's cold, it's very important that you're stretching throughout the round, especially if you're experiencing some slow play. Because even though the body is warming up because of the external, you know, forces of cold weather, you want to make sure that you're stretching throughout the round. So when the weather is warm, I'll tell people to continue stretching using the golf cart. And by the way, those stretches are also in the DVDs and on my website, using the golf cart and using the club. When it's cold, I would say you can do that, you know, every 2 or 3 holes.
Fabulous. I love it. Great stuff.
Okay. Can I talk about 5 quick things?
Okay,
I'll make it very fast.
All right.
In your golf and fitness program, there's just five areas that people should focus on, okay? One is flexibility, one is strength, one is core strength, the third one is balance, and the fourth one is posture. I'm sorry, the fifth one is posture. So we have flexibility, strength, core strength, balance, and posture. Those five things. Your fitness program should incorporate all five of those things. And whether it doesn't have to be every single day. Maybe one day you work on core and you work on strength. Maybe one day you work on core and flexibility. Maybe one day it's flexibility and balance. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So the other thing is to kind of mix it up so that you remain interested and it's challenging. But your fitness program should incorporate those five things as well.
And you'll become a stronger, more fit, better golfer.
And you'll have more longevity in the game. You'll play pain-free, and you'll have more enjoyment.
Done. Slam dunk. We're there. Tell me one more time what the website is, please.
It's www.yogaforgolfers.com.
And that's golfers
and
plural.
Golfers plural.
Yep.
I also want to say to the listeners, please email me. When we've done these podcasts in the past, I get so many emails from people that I stay in touch with on a regular basis.
Well, thank you.
With questions. I'm here to coach you. The other thing is, you know, we have a program now. If you send me a videotape of your golf swing, we can provide for you a specified, personalized fitness program based on that swing.
That's fabulous. Well, you can either email Catherine or, of course, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com, click on the Hey Fred button, and I'll definitely make sure that you get in touch with Catherine because she may not answer your email, but she does answer mine.
So. Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us and giving this phenomenal advice. It is so, so important to stay fit if you want to be a strong golfer for a long, long time.
Absolutely.
Oh-ho! It's time to ask Kenny. Do you need informed answers about specific golf gear or have questions about what to look for when you're buying a specific new golf product? Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist at edwinwattsgolf.com, is here to help. Now, to submit your question, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the button labeled Ask Kenny. If we use your question on the show, we'll send you a free Golf Smarter Edwin Watts Golf hat. Ask Kenny is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com, America's golf club. Kenny Nicholson, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great, Fred. How the heck are you today?
Oh, I'm feeling groovy. I went out and played golf at Stanford University yesterday, which was really nice. I love that golf course. I have played a couple times. But the reason I was out there was because it was the press conference for the AT&T Pro-Am. And at the press conference, actor Chris O'Donnell was there, and he spoke to the group a little bit, and I got to ask some questions. And then on the phone, with a bit of technical difficulty, but they pulled it off, on the phone was Phil Mickelson. And he was talking about life in California and playing on the West Coast, which he's very excited about having not only the AT&T, but the U.S. Opens on the West Coast this year in his hometown of San Diego, down at Torrey Pines. And I got to ask him a question as well. And so hopefully we're going to be able to cut that up and turn it into a future Golf Smarter episode.
And they have some great tournaments out there,
yeah,
with the celebrity pro-ams and stuff. I love watching those on TV because it gives you an insight as to what the average golfer really looks like and plays like. So it makes you feel a lot better about yourself.
Well, I'm going to go back into the episode that we did last week with Mark Frost and the book The Match. If you're interested in the history of the AT&T, which used to be Crosby Clambake, and a phenomenal story around it, you got to read that book. Man, I've hyped you too many times on that book, but it's so good. Hey, we got some questions I want to do because we're also doing a giveaway today and announcing a new product. Let's see here. The first question comes from Josh Schliffer, and he's in Freedom, Pennsylvania. And Josh is a varsity golfer in high school. He's fairly new to the game, but he's made a lot of progress in the last year. How much progress, you're asking? Well, he's currently a 10 handicap, and he's only been playing for a year. I hate him already.
1 year and he's a 10. That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive. So his question is there a training aid you would recommend that would help me add some distance to my shots? I hit the ball straight, but to keep it straight, I have to slow down my swing a lot. I feel like I have so much wasted strength that I could be adding to my swing, but I'm not ready to sacrifice accuracy for distance. What new devices are out now that could possibly help me become more efficient and maximize my distance without having to sacrifice accuracy?
It's called a weight room and stretching.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're in high school?
Being in high school. Flexibility is key in maximizing distance. I mean, obviously, with limited flexibility, you're not going to be able to have the same rotation that you are if you're for somebody that's more flexible. And then strength. You know, he's in high school. There are training aids that with the Momentous Swing Trainers. One where you know it helps develop strength in the in the golf swing itself. But I would definitely concentrate on flexibility and strength and just grip it and rip it. Work on your swing after that. Once you develop, the key movements in the golf swing, obviously, you know, you're able to work a little bit more on playability. You know, you look at the guys on tour and you see them, Fred, and everybody that watches golf season, they're not going after it on every single shot. I mean, it's just a fact, and there's a reason for that. One, lack of control. That you overswing, your swing characteristic has a flaw in it when you try to overswing. So you have to swing what I call within yourself. And obviously, when you create more flexibility and more strength, you can swing within yourself and still generate more club head speed. So
yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that... I can't remember who it is that we talked to on the show, but they talked about it's not swinging hard, it's swinging fast. There is a difference. And, you know, although Tiger swings out of his shoes, he's very controlled in it. And it doesn't mean that you're going to get more distance if you swing harder, right?
Well, how many times have you been on you're on a par three, it's 140 yards, and you take a club that I'm going to grip down a little bit and swing a little bit easier on this club just to make sure I get it to a back pin or whatever, and you take the same swing that you think you normally take, and you just fly it by 15 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. I mean, it's not a hard swing. It's a fast swing through impact. So, that's a swing characteristic. Strength and flexibility are the key elements in being able to get it to where it needs to be. So he can always work on his swing tempo, but
exactly.
Having more strength and more flexibility would be key.
Yep, and I think, Josh, work with your coach. Get yourself a teacher if you want to really pursue this. Try to play amateur events because, that's where the college coaches are looking. They're not looking at high school events. Work on your swing flexibility and the speed, but not the strength. It's hitting it hard is not going to be the answer to this.
That is correct, 100%.
But make sure you wear your Golf Smarter hat because we will send you on. All right, Norman Chang in Napa, California, wants to know, what's the deal with golf mats? I thought I'd get one for my backyard garage where he has a net. But when I did a search on Google, I found there was a huge difference in prices from $29 to $300. What should he be looking for in a good golf mat?
I mean, one that we sell is a True Strike hitting mat, which sells for $600. Why is it so expensive? Because it gives you a realistic feel of the turf. There are certain mats that are very generic. They're thin. They wear out very quick. And when you're practicing in the winter months and you're hitting off of a mat, or in the summer months for that matter, you don't have time to go to the driving range because you're chasing around kids at the same time, you still get a realistic feel. You know, you have a fairway, you have a rough portion of it, and then you have a deep rough portion where you can actually work on your game, and it gives you a true feel of what the golf course playability is like. So there's, it comes down to money for the most part. If money's not the huge object and you want to be able to feel like you're at the driving range and have that same feel and impact, there are certain mats that give you that feel. If you're just beating balls just to get muscle memory or strength or what have you, you can go with a lower-end mat, but just keep in mind they're going to wear out a lot quicker. The mat that we sell, the True Strike, has a replaceable hitting mat where you don't have to buy a whole new mat. to go with it. So that's one thing to keep in mind as well. And it's only $55 for an extra mat. So it's a one-time purchase for the expensive portion. And then after a period of time, that mat will wear out and you need to buy another one. But you would have to use it for a long time for that mat to wear out. We use those in all of our stores with our simulator fittings, and they get used quite a bit, and we don't replace those, you know, maybe once a year.
What I'm starting to realize on hitting mats, and I've always loved hitting off of mats, except on the golf courses that you hit off of a mat to the hole, is that, you know, I'm getting to a point where my my wedges and my, you know, 8-9 irons, I'm starting to be able to hit the ball and then the ground and get a divot. Right? You're supposed to go ball, ground, then divot, right?
Right, correct.
You can't, on a mat, you really can't get a sense of where the divot's going to be if you've hit the ball first or you've hit the ground first. And you don't want to get a divot on a mat, right? You don't want to dig a hole in your
then
mat.
Then you'd be buying a new mat. But with the better mats, you can get a feel of impact. You can tell you're hitting the ball first and then the mat.
You can.
You absolutely can. So, and that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, it's key to getting a quality feel and when you're practicing, and you are going to have to pay a premium for that.
So I guess your advice on this one is you really need to figure out what it is you're trying to accomplish, and then you can figure out what you want to spend accordingly.
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
Okay. Way cool. Good. Good.
Way cool. Good job, friend. I like that.
Hey, it's bitching, dude.
That's West
Did you follow? Yeah. Well, hey, did you follow the Maverick Surf Contest this week?
Did I? Me being a surfer that I am, I absolutely did.
I bet you did. Man, were you clamoring to get on those 30-foot waves?
No. I have sense about myself. I know when it's
you're a father. You know better.
To go out there. You know, the statistic about that, real quick, and we're not going to talk surfing here all the time, but I saw a special on that on Discovery called The Big Swell, and there was a gentleman, a pro surfer, that died there a couple of months ago, and this show was right prior before that, but there had only been like 4 or 5 people killed at Mavericks over the last 20-plus years, which is hard to fathom when you see the size of those waves. I would love to be out there to see it.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, we get nothing like that. But,
so what's the biggest wave you've ever ridden, do you think?
Probably 12 to 13, 14 feet.
That's a decent-sized wave.
It is, and when you go down, it's no fun.
Right,
fun. And we don't get those very often. Obviously, if we have a tropical depression or something like that, we get bigger surf. But it's something I want no part of when it's as big as that.
Yeah, I can't imagine riding. Well, I can't imagine surfing, but a 30-foot wave or a 50-foot wave, that's a 5-story building.
I know I got Holly, my daughter, a surfboard for Christmas and took her out Saturday. And it was, to me, it was knee to waist high. And she was just having so much fun. And I'm telling her, you'll never think that you're going to get on something big.
Well, the next question actually comes from somebody who can really care less about surfing because he's in Calgary, Canada. He wants to know about golf. So let's get back to it. He says, this is from Michael Hamill. And he says, I'm looking to purchase a new putter for the upcoming season. I'm 5'8" and hit left-handed. I currently use a Ray Cook heel-mounted putter. The shaft is 34 inches from handle to heel. Putting has always been my biggest issue. I'm either way short or way too long. How do I know if I need a heel-shafted putter, a double-balled mallet, or a center-shafted putter? What's the difference between the heel versus the center-shafted putters?
It's strictly personal preference. If you balance the shaft on your finger, where the putter is laying flat on both ends, and you'll see which on the face of the putter, if it lays flat to you, it's called a face balance putter. If the toe falls towards the ground, you have more weight in the toe of the golf club. Those are different characteristics for different type putting strokes. A lot of people like face balance. A lot of people like heel balance and toe balance. So size of the putter and where it's shafted have a lot to do with personal preference. Myself, I do not like a center shafted putter. Some people like it because the shaft is either right behind the golf ball or, you know, just inside the golf ball. Me personally, I like a heel shafted putter. I feel like I can line the putter up a little bit better that way. and I get a better feel. And as far as mallet or blade style, it's absolutely personal preference. A lot of the guys here use a mallet style or a two ball, or me personally, I use a heel shafted, more of a blade style putter. What you need to do is just obviously every golf shop in America just about has an indoor putting green when you go to a golf shop to look at putters. I know that Edwin Watts has all of those in their retail locations. And then there's a plethora of putters to choose from. You can try every one in there if you want and see how they feel for you, and you'll get a general idea as to what you like.
No, you'll be even more confused.
You will. I think
you will.
You can narrow it down as to what looks good to you. You know, this is what looks good and feels good to me. Now, this might not be the brand that I want, but it looks good and it feels good.
See, conversely, what you're saying is I like a center shafted putter because I like the heat shaft being behind the ball. So I feel like when I'm lining up directly with the ball. So there you go. Different strokes for different folks. I guess that's where that comes
absolutely.
From. Very good. All right. Well, thanks for those answers. And we talking about, the question that Josh provided earlier about training aids, we're giving one away. We have a Momentous indoor driver that we've been talking about for a couple weeks. That was on page 70 of the holiday catalog. And we have received a number of entries that we would like to select a winner. We have sorted these randomly. And you get to pick a winner. Pick between number 1 and 176. Kenny, what do you got to say?
112.
Number 112. That's pretty random. I like that. Good for
you.
No reason, not just number 112. And, and that one is going to go out to Newburgh, Indiana. Tim Hall is our winner in Newburgh, Indiana. So he's going to have a momentous indoor driver.
A guy that needs it in Indiana.
Yeah, definitely.
Still a little chilly there. So.
Yeah, congratulations, Tim. And I want to know, Kenny, what you have in your bag of tricks. I know Christmas is over, but you still have a big bag of goodies there that we can bug you about. Say, give us something.
I mean, I'm going to stick with the training aid philosophy just because the winter months.
Yeah, I think that's
a
great idea.
It is, and it's called Step to Swing.
Step to Swing?
Right. It basically gets your feet in the correct position. It lays on the ground and shows you where your feet are supposed to be. It's endorsed by Nick Faldo. There's a instructional DVD in it with Nick Faldo and everything.
Cool.
Retails for between $90 and $100. I think it's a great training aid, especially somebody that, you know, is lost on, hey, where's the ball position supposed to be? Where are my feet supposed to be? This will give you all of the answers that you need.
And does it help alignment? Because I think alignment is one of the biggest problems. People may hit the ball true, but the ball's never going where they think they're pointing.
It definitely helps with alignment.
That's critical. So important. So important. All right. Well, if you'd like to win the Step to Swing trainer, we would like to give you a chance to win it. So go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the word contest. Once you're there, fill out the shipping information and the verification code, click submit, and you have been entered. Our deadline for entry will be Monday, January 28th, 2008, and we'll do the drawing on the morning of January 29th. If you'd like to send me a note, you can do that when you're filling out the form. And if you want to ask Kenny, please do so. Click on the Ask Kenny button. All right. I think let's go through all the papers here, Kenny. It's just a complete mess of paper on my desk. Oh, and just want to remind everybody, Kenny, we're going to play a promo for the new episode of the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast, which we recorded and published last week. That was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it a lot.
That was really good. So we'll play a promo at the end of this show for that. All right, Kenny, we'll talk to you later.
Take care, Fred.
And if we can edit enough content together out of that AT&T Pro-Am press conference that I attended yesterday, I'll play it for you next week. Otherwise, we'll talk putting again with Bob Montello, a disciple of Jeff Mangum. Oh, did you guys find out yet? Have you noticed Sky Caddy? You may not be interested, but I am. Sky Caddy now has software for the Mac. You can check that out. Go to skygolf.com to see if you're a Sky Caddy owner and you've been frustrated that you can't, or if you're interested in buying a Sky Caddy GPS, but you're a Mac owner, now you can get a Sky Caddy, maybe the SG5, who knows, and then download the Mac software. Thanks again to Catherine Roberts of Yoga for Golfers. Please check out her website at yogaforgolfers.com, YOGAFORGOLFERS. Make sure it's Yoga FOR Golfers. And because I found there is a Yoga for Golfers website, which is actually yoga4golfers.com, done by a woman who's developed a program called Hole in One. W-H-O-L-E in one. Very clever. So I'll try to contact her and see if we can get her on a future episode of Golf Smarter. I'd like to thank you for the nice feedback on the new features we introduced to our website, which includes the Golf Smarter blog and our Smarter shopping pages. You know, the easiest way to purchase any book that we featured on Golf Smarter is on Amazon.com. And now we have links to each book right on our website. That's the Smarter Shopping tab at GolfSmarterPodcast.com. Of course, the Golf Smarter blog is the simplest way for you to check out what shows have been published this week and what's included in their content. Now that we're producing as many as 4 golf podcasts each week, including Golf Smarter, Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, and Golf Smarter Tips, with more Golf Smarter tips to come, this is an easy way for you to see what's new. You can also post your own comments, photos, videos, and more on the blog as well. Have you been to caddytips.com/golfsmarter yet? Golf Smarter listeners have till January 31st, 2008 to receive 50% off on all of your orders. It's a great deal you better take advantage of quickly. caddytips.com, and I have been getting emails. Make sure you spell it CADDYTIPS, caddytips.com/golfsmarter. Those are downloadable and printable shot-by-shot advice for players of all levels on specific courses around the United States, Ireland, and Scotland. Content's written by members of the Professional Caddies Association, so the quality of the content is phenomenal. And it's so easy. You print them up, you fold them, you put them in your pocket, you take them with you, and they really give you the same advice that you would get if you had a caddy with you that day. Please let all your friends know about this great offer of 50% off. They can take advantage of it, even if they don't listen to Golf Smarter. And why don't they? Come on. Go to caddytips.com/golfsmarter for all the details. We close this week with a quote submitted by Rob Zimmerman of New Hampshire, who came up with his own appropriate off-season thought after he read Zen Golf and was putting in his basement. Play 18 holes every day, even if it's in your imagination. If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, please click on the Hey Fred button at GolfSmarterPodcast.com. On episode number 11 of the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast, we've invited Edwin Watts Golf store managers to review the best products to hit the market in 2007. Not just opinions, this is a report on what clubs their customers were buying and why.
They love the Callaway FTI. They love the Nike Sumo Square drivers. And it makes sense, you know? You're still going to hit the ball as far, but now you're going to hit it straighter.
That's the Houston Galleria manager, Matt Matthews, talking about drivers. And here's Eric Mumford from Nashville reviewing hybrids.
The biggest change to me was we saw more predictable distance control.
Join me and Kenny Nicholson for a roundtable review of the best-selling drivers, clubs, hybrids, and putters. It's the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast at GolfBetterPodcast.com.